This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. During the program, email your questions or comments to Spingola1, that's Spingola, the numeral 1, at yahoo.com. I do not access my other email address during the program. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, Spingola.com, or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. I mentioned GM food yesterday and the claim that some people are making that kosher food is GM free. I added a link to yesterday's program date about these lethal GM foods. My guest today is Wilfred Heinck, that's H-E-I-N-K. He wrote this wonderful three-piece article entitled The Suppressed History of Crimes Committed on German Soldiers in World War II. It's a must-read, and I hope that you will read that, and that will be linked on today's date on the radio schedule page. Wilf, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Diana. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, it's so nice to hear your voice again.
Yeah, it's nice to hear you too, Diana. I enjoy your shows. You're right up there.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That coming from you, that means a lot to me. Thank you. So, we've talked on this program about Hess, Rudolf Hess, mm-hmm. But you're going to divulge some more information and kind of fill in some of the blanks for us today.
Yes, I am, and that will be, I'll attempt to anyway, but I need to go back a little bit. I hope I don't bore you or anybody else to death, but, you know, history as is has to be seen in context, and this Hess incident is only a piece of the puzzle. When we talked first, when I contacted you first, I mentioned that I was going to talk about the lead up to World War I. And I still intend to do that because to look at Germany as it is today and as it has developed, one needs to start from 1871 when after Bismarck was able to reunite Germany. That to me is ground zero. This is where it has to start, because from then on, things developed as a plan, this plan made by others, of course. Up to that time, up to 1871, Germany was never, it was splintered into bits and pieces. I read somewhere 26 kingdoms, duchies, principalities, whatever. It was not a unit. It was not a unified country up to then. Bismarck managed to do that, to unify it. And then it became a threat. The English considered it to be a threat because Germany, a united Germany, along with Austria-Hungary, also German-speaking, and a fairly powerful empire, was a considerable power block on the continent. And
right.
Oh yeah, I hear the bells ringing.
Right, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the 5-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Wilf Hindt, and he is the writer of The Suppressed History of Crimes Committed on German Soldiers in World War II. But we're backtracking, and I agree with you completely that it all started in 1871.
And, you know, I'm, as mentioned, I'm not quite there yet, because a lot of people and a lot of different interests were involved to bring World War One about, which was waged to eliminate this power block, this German power block in the heart of Europe. And as we all know, after World War One, Austria-Hungary ceased to exist. It was splintered all up and splintered. But this is where one has to start. And when you look at history as it unfolded, from this point of view, a lot of it falls into place, and this is why I'm working on this diligently, and I just received another book on the subject, and I hope soon I will be able to start on something, and I hope you invite me to share my what I have discovered.
Oh, absolutely. But we'll schedule a date.
Okay, carrying on here, the German historians in general, but Germans especially, have a tendency to take the years from 1933 to 1945, the so-called Hitler years. They take them, they look at them from all sides, top, bottom, but out of context. They pretend, they try to make us believe that Hitler, and before him the Kaiser, World War One, They were the only actors in the world. All others tried to defend themselves and tried to do their best to not be conquered by these Huns and whatever, which is, of course, complete nonsense, because Germany never ever, there's no indication that they ever intended to conquer the world. But this is how it is being portrayed. And having said all that, it is almost impossible to find out what really happened, especially following World War II. World War I, there are books available still, and they're getting harder and harder to find. But there were critical books written about the powers that brought this war about, World War I. In World War II, after World War II, efforts were made to not have that repeat itself. The Allies confiscated every scrap of paper they could find. They carted away hundreds of tons of documents, 480 tons from the Foreign Office, the German Foreign Office alone. And in those documents, these Foreign Office documents, were returned in the mid-50s in increments. And there was nobody present to check whether they have all been returned. We don't know what was returned and what was sorted out and where it stayed. The Russians did the same. They also, we know, at first we were told that the Germans destroyed all the documents. We know now that the archives are full in Russia still. And unfortunately, many are still locked. Alan Welsh Dulles, in his book Germany's Underground, originally published in 1947, my copy is from 2000, he tries to tell us what happened. He writes, in the very last day of the Third Reich, the Gestapo made every effort to destroy or hide research, which I knew would reveal the world to the world the depth of Nazi infamy. So according to him, they waited to the last moment when the Russians were outside of Berlin and said, hey, wait a minute. Jesus, you wrote this down? Ah, we better destroy it. I mean, this is nonsense. These guys are dreaming. This is absolute idiocy. And we have to also remember all of these tons of documents, and there is one author in Germany, a historian, Zeidler, Dr. Zeidler, he wrote that all of these, only 2,000 or something like that were used at Nuremberg. They didn't find anything incriminating. They made it sound as if it was incriminating, but it wasn't. On top of that, on top of all the sorting out and carting away, in October 95, a conference was held. It was in a report written, the report titled German Document, it was from the German Documents Conference of the final report from October 1995. And I found this in a book by Georg Friedrich, Treachery in Normandy. And document was declassified in 2008, and here's what it reads in part. I've got to turn the light on here because I've got the blinds. And I quote, it is also necessary for this conference to consider the overall problem of the denial of material, a denial of certain archives, records, and papers to the Germans. Serious consideration must be given to plans for the organized destruction of papers which possess no value for the Allies and which must be denied to the Germans. We must be cognizant at all times of the final disposition of documents required for study in Germany, which must not be permitted to fall in German hands after the departure of occupying forces. And then there is a gap. The question was then coordinated with the War Department, and they were asked to prepare a draft of State War Navy Coordinating Committee views on documents which should be destroyed or to which the Germans were to be denied all future access. Now, reading this document, it makes me wonder, because historians still claim, oh yeah, we know it all, we know what happened. Archives are locked, stuff has been destroyed, they admitted to it. All we have is a fragmented, is the victor's version of history as they concocted it over time. That's the only way I can say it is. So it's hard even to look at the Hess incident, because we really don't know what happened, but a few things were found. And still and all, with all of these this destruction and sorting out and so on going on, they still had a bugger of a time, the Allies, to convince the Germans that they were devils right after the war.
Didn't the Allies just burn everything that was published between 1933 and 1945?
Yep.
And then they stayed there for 7 years. If they got rid of all of the teachers, they installed communist teachers in all of the schools, and they had this the denazification program.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely true. They searched the archives, whatever was standing. If you like, I've seen the destruction in Germany with my own eyes after the war. The cities, they were just, how anybody could survive is beyond me. But there was hardly anything left. But they went into attics, they went into houses. Every book they could find that could conflict with the version they were about to concoct and to bring out, they just destroyed it. They just took it away. Teachers, officials, anybody, at the Nuremberg trials, the lawyers, the defense lawyers, they were carefully screened. Any connection to the National Socialism, and there was no way that this lawyer was admitted. So these were all people that were probably in the opposition, and helped to establish this picture as we have it now, and it's being more and more solidified. What astonishes me, though, Diana, is a lot of new material has come out, especially as to the Russian campaign that Hitler, his preventive war that he had started, Barbarossa. It is almost proven without doubt now that that Stalin was about to conquer Europe, and Hitler prevented that. Is that the story we hear? No. We still hear this old yarn about Hitler the aggressor, Hitler this, Hitler. Why is that, Diana? Can you explain that to me?
Well, I think you have to look at the control of the media, and you have to look at the control of Hollywood and the educational apparatus. And they all support the victor's view of history, which totally demonizes Germany. Totally demonizes Hitler. By the way, today is the 68th year of his death. He died 68 years ago in Berlin,
mm-hmm.
on April 30th.
Yeah.
So, we do not have an accurate picture of history. They have concealed everything, and they really, the people at Nuremberg, the lawyers at Nuremberg, were specifically selected to do mm-hmm. just that. Many of them were German speakers who had left Germany in 1933-34 and then returned, and they were mostly Jewish.
I have a small pamphlet here of one of the— this is something I always also tried to get in. There were a bunch of Germans that made it to Argentine, and they formed a club there. Oh, here we go again.
All righty. We're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Listen up. This isn't some Detroit car commercial. And this isn't how we do it not in any America I know. We don't take away the rights and call it public safety. We don't burden folks with something called Obamacare and call it affordable. We don't take what you earn and call it a fair share. That's not America. That's not how it's done. In my country, in my America, earning has always been better than receiving. If that's what you believe, this is America, and we're about to show you how it's supposed to be done. Step up and be heard by participating at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Join us and stand up for the America you know at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. That's how it's done. Now do it. You have a voice. Now use it.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Wilfred Heinck. Wilfred Heinck, H-E-I-N-K. He is the author of The Suppressed History of Crimes Committed on German Soldiers in World War II. It's a three-part article that I will link to today's program. Alrighty, you were talking about Argentina, and that there were a lot of Germans who did go there.
Yeah, and they had formed a sort of a club, and they published for a while. They published some little monthlies. Called Der Weg, the road, and a whole bunch of them. I tried to get them because these were the real eyewitnesses. Okay, now a lot of people will say, they were Nazis, so why would they? True enough. I mean, they wrote it from their perspective, and fine. But who is without bias? I mean, show me a historian that's without bias looking at this. We all have our biases. But a lot of them are really, I have two. And this one is about Nuremberg, and he writes exactly what you were just saying, that these Jewish emigrants returned in mass, and the Nuremberg was just awash with Jews trying to get their pound of flesh, as it were. So this was never, but that's another issue, that was never a fair trial anyway to start out with. To just finish this lengthy introduction, if you will, I read an article that was published in 2001, and it's titled The Three Stages of the Demonizing of the German Past. And you were referring to that, Diana. You said that it is totally demonized these few years. This is Hitler the devil in person and so on and so forth. And he says the first stage, and I don't really remember that because I at that time I was in East Germany. In East Germany, there was, fascism and the Russians, the peaceful Russians, defended themselves against these terrible German aggressors and so on and freed the world from fascism and blah, blah, blah. But there wasn't much going on. But this guy writes that, in fact, the first stage of this demonization was called the virus model. They couldn't explain what allegedly happened. So they said that a virus spread throughout Germany in those years with Hitler the center, and he infected the rest of the body, the populace, and this spread throughout, and that's how come people were, in other words, they were sick. And this is, you mentioned that too. After 45, a denazification process said you could buy a certificate, I think it was 25 marks, swearing that you're no longer a Nazi. In other words, you're no longer affected by this virus. And for a small fee, you were giving absolution. So, I mean, this thing, if it wasn't so sad, a guy could laugh. I mean, this is totally...
ridiculous.
Who would think of that?
When I see pictures of, and there's numerous pictures on the internet of the German people, they mm-hmm. seemed pretty darn happy to be that sick. They were, they followed him. When there was a parade, they loved him. They were waving the flag, saluting him. They loved him. I don't think they were sick. I think they were really happy.
I think so too, and you know that I don't engage in hero worship either way. No way. It doesn't matter who. But Hitler rode around in an open car all the time he was in power. He always, the deck was down. He was standing in there waving at the crowds. Which politician does that today? I mean, he was well loved. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And the Germans are not stupid, and they were not sick. They would have followed a criminal. They would have not supported him. There are still problems. Historians today still have problems. There's a book published here not that long ago. I forget who by whom, an English historian. Why the Germans supported Hitler to the bitter end? Well, I know why. Because they really believed that he did good for them. And they believed in him. Anyway, let's get to Hess for a little bit that I know I'm not an expert on it, but I think this is a story that also needs to be told. But before I go anywhere, here's what I found on the internet. British records of the Hess event are currently sealed until 2017, although some 2,000 pages were released in 1992. Official secrecy covering the file was extended from 30 to 75 years. This event was reported in the Glasgow Evening Times of June 4, 1992, where then Foreign Secretary Douglas Hurd promised to publish most of the official papers concerning the alleged peace mission. An MP was quoted as saying, "I'm still suspicious. I believe that there is a decision to keep under wraps the most vital papers."
Exactly.
And that's what it is.
Yep. Okay, we have a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna and our guest today, Will Pike. And, all right, pick up where you left off.
Okay.
We're talking about how happy the people were and then went from there.
Yeah, and I went to sometimes I get lost in with myself here, and I needed a little time to find my way back.
I went downstairs and I grabbed the book Churchill's Deception, which has some information about Hess that I think is interesting. But anyway, then I do things during the break, and then I think, okay, now what were we talking about?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Churchill's Deception. I was just about to mention it just briefly because when I did some research on the traitor issue in Germany, this is something. I also wrote a few articles on that. They're also on that RevBlock website. But that's also an issue that has never been addressed by the historians. Because if it would be addressed properly, and if it would be known and made known how many traitors that were in that Third Reich, and what they did they had open contacts to the Allies. The Dallas that I just mentioned before had set up shop in Zurich, and these people they were passing each other on the door practically, like, you know, people from the intelligence, German intelligence services, German diplomats in England. Some of them they went to the government in England. They were guests there regularly. I mean, if this was ever made public, how many of them there were, the whole story would collapse, I'm sure. But anyway, while I was looking at that subject, one of the books I had ordered by Kiltzer, and you just mentioned it, this came as a bonus, Churchill's Deception. And Kiltzer makes a very good case. He writes it from his point of view, and I don't blame him for it, where he allows for Hitler to be the bad guy. But he has uncovered some material, no doubt based on this release of these 2,000 documents that I had just mentioned before, that were released in 1992. One of the things he mentions, and that I have a problem with, it had nothing to do with anything right now, but he says, it had taken, and I'm quoting, it had taken the Nazi Führer less time to rout the British from the continent than it had taken him to defeat the Poles. The fleeing Tommies had even left almost all of their weapons behind as they scrambled aboard ships and boats and anything that would float at Dunkirk. Back in Great Britain, they were an army in name only. If Hitler had chosen to come, he could have. The cliffs of Dover would have offered as much resistance as the British army. This has always baffled me. Why did Hitler not go? Later on, Kiltzer writes that he quotes Hitler, and Hitler saying that the army is England's backbone. If we destroy it, there goes the empire. And he never wanted to inherit that empire, nor could he said. And this is the reason I believe that he wanted peace with Britain. He did not want war with Britain. In spite of it all, he wanted to get along with them. Anyway, as far as Hess goes,
Weren't there also some logistical reasons for not going into Dunkirk militarily the way that others think that he should? Because the equipment that they had, plus they were also fighting in France, logistically, it just didn't work out, and it wasn't his decision. It was a decision made by one of his generals.
I, to tell you the truth, I'm no expert on it, and I don't think it's just something that baffled me because I've read conflicting stories. For instance, I read that, I believe it was Guderian, the Panzer general, the tank general, he was furious. Because he would have been able easily to cut them off, he says, to not reach the coast. Hitler and Werner Maser, in one of his books, also repeats that. And he was no revisionist or anything like that. But he also says that Hitler gave the order to stop and allow them to escape. Be that as it may. Did you want to add something, Diana?
No. I was just looking at this document that on Dunkirk, and with regard to the equipment and regarding the swampy territory that was close to Dunkirk. I mean, it was just not logistically possible because the terrain was inappropriate for the tanks. Because of the drainage situation, the terrain that the Allies held, which the German handbook said this about the coastal plain and the belt. And I quote, "In wet weather, wide areas become boggy and impassable on foot. Vehicles can, in general, only move on the roads available, which are very numerous and mostly fortified. These and little railways run throughout on dikes. These form, with the numerous, in general, not very wide waterways, canals, and ditches, a dense mesh of sections suitable for delaying defense. At a breach or conscious destruction of the dikes, especially at high or spring tides, it will flood to the depth of 5 feet, and be impassable, even if, according to the map, the height is between 1 and 3 meters. When the ebb tide takes water away, there remains marsh. Drainage results through the collecting canals, from which the water reaches the sea through the great sluices of Calais, Gravelines, and Dunkirk, unquote. And so the terrain was simply impossible and inappropriate for them to move tanks onto. They would have lost those tanks and not been able to have gone into France with those tanks. So they would have lost all this equipment. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have that much to begin with.
Yeah, no, this is true. They were not well equipped for that war. This was for sure.
Right.
Yeah, no, I've never heard that, but I'll good. That explains why he didn't go. And again, just a little bit more about Kiltzer. Kiltzer claims, and this is not a claim. I believe this really happened. To just get away from it here briefly, looking at Hess, Hess comes across to me as an honest person. Just looking at him. And I'm a little bit, I mean, I'm 76 years old. I've paid attention throughout my life. I'm a little bit of a judge of characters. I don't think he had a devious bone in his body. I believe he really was committed to this National Socialism idealism, if you will, and believed that it could make a better world, or at least a better Germany. Well, it was a better Germany. Germany was did very well. The Germans did very well in that time. And Hitler, probably too, because Kiltzer says that Hitler believed that there was a group in Britain powerful enough to topple the war party around Churchill, and that an effort should be made and was made, that was the reason for that Hess flight, to come to terms with the British. And Kiltzer says that much, and he is right. I believe that is true. He also then, Kiltzer, on page 236, he refers to a speech of Adolf Hitler of June 19, 1940. I found that, and it is a very interesting speech. I got to make an effort to try and translate it. Speeches are hard to translate. I don't look forward to it, but it is. Because he again repeats the peace offers, the numerous peace offers that he made, and hopefully I'll have a little time to get into it a little later on, that he made since coming to power, since 1933, they were all rejected. He did not want war. I'm not ruling out that at some time he could see a conflict with the Soviet Union, because communism was built on conquering the earth. It was this whole ideology could not coexist with any other form of government. It was designed to take over, and you just look at some of the emblems. They have the hammer and sickle, the flag, superimposed over the globe. They were intent on conquering the world, and right. Hitler realized that.
Sure, it wasn't Hitler, but often people project their own objectives onto other people to make them look bad.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah, and you know, then people do go back to Mein Kampf, saying, yeah, he wrote about Lebensraum, living space. Of course, he did. Hitler was a child of his time. He remembered World War I, that murderous British blockade where untold Germans starved to death. Even after the hostilities had ceased, an additional 800,000 starved, it is estimated, because the British refused to lift that blockade. Germans could not feed themselves. There were too many people in a small country. So he looked for living space. Of course he did. But that he wrote this book when he had no hope of ever becoming chancellor. So, it is possible that he had sometime he could see a conflict with the Soviet Union, but he did not want war with the West or with anybody else. That is nonsense. And that speech makes that clear. Another book that I found on this subject while looking at the traitor issue is a book by John Costello, I think he's English or American, it doesn't matter, and Oleg Tsarev. The book is called Deadly Illusions. It was published in 1993. Tsarev is a former KGB agent, and he was, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, he was given access to the KGB files. Both authors mention that archives are still locked, both in Russia and the West, and that it is impossible for them to present a complete picture. He writes that after a month of work, we had reviewed the material, that's Tsarev, which from an operational and security standpoint might safely be made public. My first article was based on the files on Rudolf Hess, which from a historical point of view I knew would arouse great interest. It was published in May, his article was published in May 1990, and it involved reports from Kim Philby. We know Kim Philby, one of the Cambridge Five, these double agents, which coincided with a documentary. It related to reports he had supplied from his contacts in the Foreign Office on Hess' flight to Scotland in 1941. These shed new lights on continuing British efforts to keep secret the genuineness of Hess's intentions to seek peace and the eve of the German attack on the Soviet Union. So these files, the Russians were well aware of this. The Russians were always worried about Germany and England coming to terms, because then they knew, or I should say the Soviets, Stalin, then they knew they wouldn't have had a chance, because Hitler would have clobbered them if he would have had his back free. But so they were well aware of it, and they had spies everywhere. They knew what was happening and where it was going. They knew all about that flight.
Yeah. What was the name of Costello's book?
Deadly Illusions.
Okay.
And his Tsarev's article appeared in a Russian newspaper on May the 31st. A week later, on the 20th, an acknowledgement appeared in the London Sunday Times. I looked for that article. I couldn't find it. But I found something else that I'll get in that was in the New York Times a little later. In 1991, it was printed. But what I need to read here yet from his book is, Tsarev writes, "The reaction to my article about Hess's flight, however, made me keenly aware that any release of the KGB records would be a controversial and frustrating exercise. Not only was there an inherent disinclination to believe information on the Soviet intelligence files, but many historians had built their reputations on what they had written, and I realized how strongly they would resist accepting a new theory, even if it was supported by documents with impeccable authentication. New evidence must surely be a touchstone for the true historian, who must be prepared to admit that an earlier interpretation was misconceived if new material is found." End of quote. And here we are again. This new material keeps coming out. I mean, documents are released. If they are taken in context, you can a new picture involves a new evolves a new news. Yet, no, with nothing. It's as if this doesn't happen. And
was he murdered? Was Costello murdered?
I don't think so. Not that I know of.
Okay, maybe it was another Costello. Okay.
Anyway, a little bit about this article regarding Tsarev's article published in the Russian newspaper. It was printed on June the 8th, 1991. It appeared in the New York Times. And it says, "Top secret documents released by the KGB assert that the sensational flight of Himmler's former deputy Rudolf Hess to Scotland 50 years ago was no surprise at all to the British intelligence, which might have lured him with false promises of a peace settlement. Might have.
Yeah.
Might have. We have here again. Because they did lure him.
Yes.
The documents seem to buttress the case that Hess was convinced that Britain could be persuaded to make peace with Germany.
Fascinating. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to SantaBarbaraBells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
Guest today is Wilfried Heinck, and he is the author of The Suppressed History of Crimes Committed on German Soldiers in World War II. And you're talking about the flight of Rudolf Hess to England because he was thinking that maybe he could strike a deal for peace. And Hitler knew that he was going.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah, you're right. I forgot to mention that. There's this nonsense floating about that Hess went on his own. You know, the Messerschmitt, the plane he was using, they had to install here I read different stories. One says three tanks, another one says two fuel tanks. They had to take one of the seats out to install fuel tanks so he can reach it, because he left southern Germany all the way to Scotland, quite a distance, and he was an excellent pilot. And to do all of this, he didn't do that in his backyard, obviously. And to do all of this in secret, it's absolute nonsense. Of course Hitler knew. Hitler was in contact, and I'll get into that in the next hour, hopefully. We'll have a little time then. Just to get back to this article that was in the New York Times, they say that the tantalizing peek into the KGB files has been provided by one of its senior press officers, Oleg Zarev, who recently invited a reporter in for a look at them in the third floor of his former fortress of doom, the Lubyanka prison. But he acknowledged that he had been able to get only some of the documents cleared for release. So we have to hear, this is important to stress, that not even in Britain are these files still locked under lock and key, the Hess files, in Moscow as well. They still won't tell us what it is. And that article later on says the strength of the pro-German party in Britain in 1940 has long been disputed among historians, but documents from another trusted Soviet source confirm some of Mr. Philby's other information. Those were from this Czech Moravec, and he's actually called Moravec. Anyway, it doesn't matter. This was confirmed that Hess and Hitler based their hopes on this peace party in Britain, which was a construct of the British Secret Service. This peace party, this powerful peace party, never existed. The British Secret Service made it appear that it did, and Hess was lured to Britain. Mr. Zarev said the KGB is withholding some of its files for operational reasons, in quotation marks. Mr. Costello acknowledged that the fragmentary Soviet files from Colonel Moravec and Mr. Philby might well not tell the whole truth, but added a cautionary note. If they're being selective with the truth, they're being less selective than the British. And that's true. Why, I mean, here we are again. Why hide this? If we're supposedly know it all, well, let's have it then.
Exactly. All righty, we are going to our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after station ID and a word from our sponsors.